Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin this study in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45, that we have titled John the Fetus. And yes, that's a play on words. The babe in the womb of Elizabeth will become known as John the Baptist, but his life began in the womb. His biography includes two major events that we will discuss in this study, which happened while he is a fetus, proving that a fetus is a living, breathing human child. But this study also includes a look at the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers and how that differed from one dispensation to the next, specifically comparing the difference found between the dispensation of the Mosaic Law and our own dispensation of the Gospel of Grace. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those by email to bbfohio@protonmail.com. You can also write to us using the U.S. Postal System, sending any check or money order contributions that you wish to send, addressed to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. You can also donate at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button on the right-hand side of the screen or the drop-down menu if you're using the mobile site at that same address, bbfohio.com. We want to remind you again to listen to our Bible studies anytime, day or night, along with dozens of hymns featuring the congregational singing of Bible Believers Fellowship in Worthington by going to bbfohioradio.com, and we ask you to share that web address with friends and family, posting it on social media or sending it by email, however you can get the word out. Let people know they can listen free of charge 24/7 at bbfohioradio.com. And now we begin our study in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. The message is titled, John the Fetus. This is part 1 of 2. And we're going to do our current events update on Republicans. A rhino is a Republican in name only. Now, the reason I mention that, because just this week somebody was like, I thought a Republican was an elephant. And that's the point. Is that a rhino is a Republican in name only. R-I-N-O. Republican in name only. And what that means is the rhinos are liberals in practice. They run as Republicans, but they're liberals in practice. And Rand Paul, you will recall that Ron and Rand Paul, Rand is the son, Ron's the dad, a lot of ignoramus Republicans would refer to Ron Paul and even Rand Paul as like not even Republicans, they're like libertarians. Well, the reality is the Libertarian Party is closer to Republicans than rhinos. And most of us are what you could call constitutional conservative libertarians. In other words, the Libertarian Party goes too far. And they want to basically, like most of the libertarians are pro-abortion. And the Libertarian Party, I mean, in the Libertarian Party, I went to a couple of their meetings, very pro-sodomite, pro-gay marriage. Yeah, and pro-legalization of drugs, rather than what Ron Paul and Rand Paul stood for was decriminalization, which I support. But anyway, here's another example. Rand Paul shocked evangelical Christians by accusing fake pro-life Republican leaders of refusing to defund Planned Parenthood. Because what a lot of Republicans will do is they'll run for office saying they're pro-life. But then when they win their election, they get in Congress, they aren't. They don't vote pro-life. And that's what Rand Paul.
Since I was a kid, I've been part of the pro-life community.
He's speaking to an evangelical group.
My dad's an OB. I'm an ophthalmologist. In my training, I refused to participate in abortions, would never commit an abortion. And every time I think, well, gosh, we lose all the time. You know, we can't even defund Planned Parenthood. We try to do all this and we seem to lose. I try to think of where we might be winning. And I think we are winning the hearts and minds. Less and less physicians want to be associated with the grisly practice. I mean, the idea, the repulsive idea of seeing, you know, Planned Parenthood selling body parts in the video of that struck home for people. So we are winning sometimes, I think, the persuasive argument that this is an awful, degrading, disgusting, and terrible thing for anybody to be involved with. But I will tell you that we still lose in the legislation. We still lose, and sometimes we lose because the people who come to you and give you lip service and say, oh, I'm pro-life, and then they don't seem to vote that way. I'll give you an example. Last year I tried to attach to a spending bill a prohibition to have any money spent by Planned Parenthood. You know what happened? They sat me down, and one of the senior Republican senators said, we cannot have the vote today. And I said, why? He said, we might win. I'm not kidding you. This is a senior Republican sitting next to me on the floor of the Senate saying, we're not going to vote to defund Planned Parenthood because we might win. And I said, what does this mean? I said, does this mean that passing your spending bill, getting the Democrats to vote for your spending bill is more important than life? And he just smiled. See, that's what the thing is. You have Republicans that are more concerned with spending money than protecting the unborn.
That's it right there. That's why for years people have asked me, you know, are you a Republican? I'm like, I wasn't. I'm just, truth be known, try to be transparent. I registered as a Republican to vote for Rand Paul. And then when Rand Paul dropped out, I stuck around to vote for Donald Trump. And there's such delusion out there today. And that's why every lesson, every Bible study, we start by showing you the deception that's taking place. And the news media in this country are liars. And I just want you to keep that fresh in your mind. When you see the news, you're seeing propaganda. They serve the Democrat Party because the Democrat Party is liberal. But they also serve rhino Republicans. That's why, did you see the love fest of John McCain when he died? Why? Because John McCain was a fake. He was not a, he was a Republican in name only. He shot down every chance he could to defund Planned Parenthood. He loves war. And that's another sign of a rhino. They want you to be in all the wars. And so what happened when Donald Trump didn't bomb Iran and kill 150 plus people? All the rhinos showed their real colors. They want war with Iran. We don't want war with Iran. We want to, you know, as Christians, we'd like to see Iran open up for the gospel. We support Israel, so we don't want them to continue to fund terrorism the way they do. And we don't want them to have a nuclear bomb. Amen. But that doesn't mean we want war. And it's a crazy thing to see how many Christians start screaming and yelling for war. Just crazy. Times we live in. But on the other hand, President Trump is doing what he can. So we can't. That's the difference. And that's why a lot of rhinos, like Paul Ryan, you remember him, hate, despise Donald Trump in closed doors. Not in front of the camera. They'd smile and try to, for the sake of the Trump supporters, they try to act like they liked him. Here's an example. This is what a lot of Christians don't even have enough brains to understand this, what you're about to see. This is from the left. These are the left-wing, pro-abortion, pro-sodomite people right here. The headline, Trump's hard right judges will do lasting damage to America. You know why they call them hard right? Because they're like you. These judges believe in the Constitution. These judges believe in free speech. These judges believe in the right to bear arms. These judges believe in freedom of religion. These judges are conservative constitutionalists. Amen. Do all the damage you want. Amen? This is in the small print there. The president has appointed an array of judges who are anti-choice. That means they don't want to kill babies. Anti-union, which is a lie. Trump's judges have been 50-50 on union issues right now. That's better than a lot of the Democrat appointed ones. Anti-immigration. That's a lie. It's illegal immigration. That's right. See, the news media has brainwashed America not to know the difference between the words illegal immigration and legal immigration. That's why we just had turn it off. Don't get your news from a bunch of liars. And he says pro-gun, that means they believe in the Second Amendment. They could cause permanent harm. May God make it so. Because permanent harm to the left-wing satanic groups in this country is good for us, it's good for America. So praise God for it. Here's another example. Trump administration bans rainbow flags above U.S. embassies and reverses Obama policy. No more fag flags over the embassies that belong to the United States of America. Obama flew the sodomite colors. And if you'd had any of those rhino Republicans, like Jeb Bush, they would have kept doing it. John McCain, if he'd been president, I bet they would have done it. So there you go. I got that from Brian Smith. Isn't he a friend of yours? Brian Smith? And by the way, before we close out, you'll never see these flags above any U.S. embassy. You got the Christian flag up there in the corner. That's the Baptist flag, the book, the blood, the blessed hope. The NRA flag, don't tread on me. And you say, well, why won't Trump fly those flags? Because there's no reason to fly any flag except for the United States of America's flag. I don't want any flag over my embassy as an American other than the American flag. See? And so when you will fly another flag and it's a sodomite LGBTQ flag, it's just, it was so sick. I can't believe that we've had this reprieve, because I thought when we start lighting up the White House in the fag collars and putting up the fag flag and everything, I just thought we were going to die. I just expected to let, you know, bombs bursting in air. I thought brimstone and fire was going to come down on America. That just proves how long-suffering and gracious and merciful our God is. Yeah, Johnny?
I don't think we would mind, though, any of those four flags.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. I don't want these flags flown over our embassies. Amen. We believe in the Constitution. We're not a Christian nation, despite what people try to advertise in bookstores and Christian bookstores. We are a government established by God, according to Romans 13. But we are not a theocracy. So I don't want... And as much as I love the Second Amendment, as much as I love freedom, that don't tread on me flag is not my national flag. It's a flag for the Revolutionary War. Praise God, I got one. I may not still have it. I need to order one or maybe get one for Christmas. But anyway... but yeah, see, that's the thing we have to be careful about. When the liberals do things that are wrong, we don't want to do the same thing and use our own collars, our own flags, our own wrong. Two wrongs don't make a right, amen? How many of you heard that before? Amen. It's wrong to fly any flag over the United States. I love Israel. Don't put that flag over a U.S. embassy. Amen? Amen. I mean, that's just the way it ought to be. All right, this morning we're in Luke 1, 39 to 45. And despite the fact a few people tried to preach my sermon for me already, I'm going to be beginning verse 39, John the fetus. And that's a play on words, because we're going to look at John the Baptist in the womb. Before he was John the Baptist, he was John the fetus. Luke 1, 39. We're going to read, first, we're going to start by just reading verses 39 through 42. And then we'll pick up the other three verses later on. Read the even numbered with me. I'll start out in verse 39. It says, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. So we're going to stop there and then come back and read a few more verses. But those first two verses you read there, verses 39 and 40, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country. That just shows you that spiritual people like hanging out with us hillbillies. Amen?
Amen.
I'm from southern Ohio, and I was just thinking about this week. But when I first moved up here, I still had that draw. I talked a little slower, and I'd talk to people, and they'd say, Where are you from? Or they'd say, Where are you from? And just as a joke, I'd say, Down south. And they're thinking, you know, Tennessee or whatever. And they'd say, Where from? I said, Wheelersburg, Ohio. And they'd say, Wheelersburg, Ohio. But it was far enough south that it made a big difference in my... We spent half our life in Kentucky and West Virginia, though, right on the river there. Everybody's always thinking I'm saying Wheeling. And I'll even say Wheelersburg, Ohio, and then they'll start talking about Wheeling. And it was we were 3 hours away from Wheeling. But Mary, in this text, is visiting family. She's going to visit Zach and Liz. And I say that because I believe they used nicknames like that. So, you know, they called John the Baptist. That wasn't his birth name. You do know that, don't you? And Jesus, they didn't actually call him Jesus Christ, even after they knew he was the Christ, because Christ wasn't his last name. You know his last name would probably be? If he's American, it would have been Jesus Carpenterson. Yeah, Carpenterson. Well, Bar Joseph, yes, son of Joseph. That's a yeah. But Christ is a title. But Mary's going to visit family, and you have to think of those terms when she goes and visits her cuz and Elizabeth. And verse, of course, she might also have been known as Wheezy. Wasn't that Elizabeth Jefferson? Wasn't that her name?
Yeah.
Wheezy. Could have been. Or Beth. So verse 41 continues, and we're going to come back to that first phrase there when it says, And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb. We're going to see that Elizabeth will actually make that comment again. I'll come back to that. But look at how that verse ends. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Now that's a phrase that a lot of people don't use these days, and we've talked about why. It's because the charismatics have ruined it for a lot of people. As soon as you say you're filled with the Holy Ghost, then you usually get the attention of people who think you're talking about untie my bow tie, who stole my honey stuff, you know, that kind of stuff. Rolling around the floor and shaking, you know, that kind of thing. And that's not what it means. And we'll look at that in just a second, but I want you to first note that Elizabeth here is the one filled with the Holy Ghost, and that ought to kind of ring your bell a little bit. Why? This is still under Mosaic law.
Amen.
And here Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Ghost. So this is not the norm during this dispensation. That's another thing. Get your mind in the Word. What you're reading here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is still under the Old Testament. That's why when Jesus would heal a guy, he'd say, Now go to the temple and offer the proper sacrifice that Moses commanded. Why? Because they were still a temple. And Jesus had still not died on the cross and shed His blood. This is still under the Mosaic law. This is still the dispensation of law. And we were also told in this dispensational law, John shows up as a fetus in the womb of his mother. And look back, verse, I think I made a note here, verse 15. Remember reading that? Verse 15, For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. What's it say? And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. That blob of tissue filled with the Holy Ghost. Ain't that something? That's what the pro-choice liberals and rhinos tell you. That's just a blob of tissue. Charlie, how old? I was just curious. I couldn't remember. How far along was Olivia with Ezra when you got your first ultrasound?
18 weeks.
What kind of blob was in there? Yeah. Now, that's called science. You observe and report the data that you find. That's science. The pro-choice argument is satanic mythology. The idea that that baby in the womb isn't a human being is anti-scientific, and it is satanic mythology. In the Old Testament, the Spirit worked different with the saints, as they will after the rapture during the tribulation, and as He will during the millennium. It's different. Let's look up Genesis 41. Let's go there and look at it. Genesis is the first book in your Bible. 41, verses 38 and 39. And this is what we see with Joseph. So there were times in the Old Testament where the Spirit was in the saint. But it's notable because it's different. It's the exception. In the New Testament, we're told you have the Spirit in you if you're saved. So I don't have to say, well, now Stephen, he has the Spirit of God in him, unlike the rest of you. See? No, if you're saved, you got the Spirit in you. Amen? But we're told when it happens to people in the Old Testament because it's the exception. Look at Genesis 41, 38 and 39. I'll start in 37. It says, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all his servants. Now read 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? See, it's exceptional to find a man with the Spirit of God in him. Read verse 39. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. So there you see that Joseph was certainly an exception in Egypt. But if you've read the Old Testament, if you've read Exodus, if you've read Numbers, if you've read Joshua, and especially if you've read Judges, you'll see that having a man or a woman with the Spirit of God in them is the exception, even among the saints. Look at this one. This guy, we don't talk about this fellow much. I tried to tell Charlie this would be a good name for a boy, but he picked out Ezra, so that's pretty good. I'm not complaining. Bezalel, Exodus 33, 1 to 5. And it also the same account or an additional account telling you the same thing is found in 35, 30 through 33. Verse 1 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go up hence, and thou and the people which thou hast brought out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. Verse 2, and I will send an angel before thee. And that's exciting to study on that. And I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And that's a great text, but that's not what I'm looking for. Look at chapter 30. So that gives us a little bit of context. We go to chapter 30. I'm sorry. Just a little typo. Try not to crash my... Yeah, this we're or 31. I'm sorry, it's looking right at 31.
Is that your final answer?
They say three strikes you're out, so if you get it wrong this time, I'll let Charlie preach. Yeah, all right. You there, Exodus 31? I was reading in the right place when I made that slide. I just had a typo. All right, verse 1 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying," now read verse 2 with me, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah." Now read verse 3. "And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, and in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship." Now, that means he's going to speak in tongues and do miracles, right? No. See, and I want you guys tell me. I don't have everybody say it out loud. But in your mind, we have an electrician. We have a truck driver. We have going into engineering, I believe he said. We have English as a second language. We have someone who works at in laundry and what?
Sanitation
engineer. Dave's a delivery. Doug's retired and put in his time working. Jenny's a slave to the computer. We have a nurse. We have Janie, not sure what she's going to be doing from one week to the next. But she works hard, right? Tracy, jack of all trades, Jill of all trades. and listen, and Dre and Nick, everybody, I'm trying to hear everybody. Sean's hard worker. Janice is a hard worker, working with the OBU. I think I hear everybody in the room that's working. And guess what? You can do that as a Spirit-filled Christian, and please God.
Amen.
It's not just preaching, teaching, or being, with your name in lights. Look what this guy did. Verse 4, read it. "To devise cunning works." Read with me. "To devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass and in cutting of stones to set them and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship." This guy is in a shop. Hot, sweaty, probably got the radio on, a fan blowing on him, and he's hammering on things and probably smashing his finger and trying not to cuss and all that. Filled with the Spirit of God. Isn't that something? You'll enjoy your job more. I've said this many times. There were days I hated my job, and it was always the days I was backslidden. When I was full of the Spirit of God, just singing in my heart. You may not be able to sing out loud, but you can still sing in your heart. And thinking on the Bible or quoting Bible verses or anything like that while I'm doing my job. And half the time, half the people around me just watching me work, not doing a thing. And that'll get to you. That's why you got to be filled with the Spirit of God. People are nasty and unhappy and cranky and dishonest and all that stuff. Filled with the Spirit of God, you can just keep working as unto the Lord. Let God deal with that. Amen? And some of you may be saying amen and thinking, try it. Just try it. Amen. You can be filled with the Spirit of God. Elizabeth is filled with the Spirit of God. What's she doing? Carrying a baby. She ain't out street preaching. She's carrying a baby.